dessert will pass, and with its common trifles, but God and I will go unendingly. Boy, that's beautiful, and that's a beautiful word to think about, that God and I will go unendingly. Not only me and God, or God and I, but all of us, we are faithful to Him and in Him. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We want to consider this morning, and then also, Lord willing, this evening, talking about the parable of the talents. And what were the parable of the talents, the parable that Jesus had spoke, what it was that the men had done with the talents that they were given. And we will focus more on that this morning. This evening, when we come back, Lord willing, we're going to talk about how the master came back and took a look at what the individuals had done with the talents. And then we're also going to take a look a little bit at Jesus as He will judge all the nations there in Matthew 25 as well. If you would, just read along with me. We'll go ahead, and this will take just a moment. But let's go ahead and read beginning in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 granted 2 more also, or gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And he said to him, or his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited the money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with my own interest. And therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, or who has more, will be given to him, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, stated, what I want to focus on this morning is the giving out of the talents and what the individuals did with the talents as they received them. Tonight, we will focus on the judgment of those talents and exactly what it was that they had done. I want you to consider that here in the 25th chapter of Matthew, that the first parable that we see in the beginning part of Matthew 25 is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And this is a parable of virgins that were waiting on the bridegroom to come. And they had not prepared, the foolish virgins had not prepared such as they should have enough oil to wait on the bridegroom. So they went and got more oil, and then the bridegroom came, and those who were ready and prepared went in and went to the feast with the bridegroom. So we see a parable that is about waiting. Now, in the next section of what we've just read, these parables of talents, we see that there's going to be a time of waiting also. There's a period that we see the Lord is going to go, but the Lord is coming back, or the Master is coming back. And we find that the important thing that's being pointed out here is that, yes, there is a time of wait, but there's also a time of working. That you have been blessed, and you need to take what it is that you have been blessed with and then try to gain from what you've been given. You need to grow what it is that you have been given. This is a beautiful parable as we consider what it is that God has given to you and I. Comment was made this morning in class, all things belong to God. And that is true. There's nothing that God does not have, that all things are His. He is the Creator. He was the one that has given us all things that we have in our life. And consider that as we take a look at this story, that we understand that God or Jesus is the one that is the Master that calls His servants. The term servant in the Greek is doulos. And simply we find that that is the term that is used here, doulos or doulou, and we see that it is the idea of a servant or a slave. And from what I read and understand, this was somewhat of a common practice during this period of time, that there would be a master that would call his slaves together because he was going to be away for a while, and he would give charge to those slaves to do certain things. So what the slaves had were not theirs, but they belonged to the master. All things that they were given belonged to the master, and they were charged with the responsibility to take care of what the master had given to them. So we see that they bring them together. The master has given them those things that are according to their talent and to their ability. One of the important things, I think, that we point out here at this point is the fact that every individual receives something. But those that could handle more was given, and those that could not handle as much, less was given. And so I believe that is the way that we find, even within our own lives, that all of us have been blessed richly. All of us have been given things that we can do. We've been given talents. We've been given the ability to do some things, but not all things. Some of us have the ability to do more things than what other people do, but we find for every single person that is in here, every Christian that is in here, every doulos or servant or slave that is of Christ Jesus has the ability and has been blessed with something. Now there are those that have the ability to do more. So they have been given the challenge of being given more within their life. And those that could not handle what more, those that could not handle what the five-talent man could handle, they were given less. But nonetheless, that was given, and the expectation was that you take care of what was given to you. Think of how the one-talent man was given, the man that was given that one talent. It wasn't so that he could handle in his life, and it would have been an injustice to that man to have been given the five talents because he did not, I guess, in some respect, meet the qualifications to handle all that the five-talent man was given. And think of what a disservice it would have been for the five-talent man, or the man that was able to handle the five talents, to only be given one talent, because then that would be a disservice to him, because simply he would not be working to his full potential. Are we able to recognize our talents as we go through life? Now, I think according to the story that we find out, that what is given is based on the idea of a wage, or it's based on the idea of money. We read this and we can interject and understand and know that our talents are not necessarily money that we've been given, but ability that we have to do things within the kingdom of God. And I think as we come to the end of this parable, as we come to the end of talking about this, the responsibility is that we use what it is that we've been given. And I can't help but think that we have to develop and that we have to improve. We have to work at that which we have been given so that we may grow in the Lord's church. And yet we can't go and we can't hide that talent as that one talent man had done. Some of the research that I've done, the idea of talents, talanta is the Greek word. I used to sit in lessons and somebody would say the Greek word and think, nobody cares about the Greek word. So if you're sitting out there and you think, we don't care about the Greek word, I understand. I always kind of jot those down as I go just because I've studied that a little bit. And I do not consider myself to be wise in the Greek. But there are some things that I know and understand when it comes to the language. But what some of the research that I did had indicated was that was given, the one that was given £5 would be equal to money that would have been worth over 100 years of labor. That is what the five-talent man was given in charge to take care of. The two-talent man would be equal to the money that would be compared to 40 years of labor. And the one-talent man was given that which would be compared to 20 years of labor. So I want to point out and say that what had been given to the servants, what had been given to the slaves, though it was of a different equality, was something that was still incredibly rich in what was given. And I think that is important as we consider our lesson here this morning, that God gives to us riches. There are those who have been given more talents, those who have been given less talents, but every talent that God has given for your service, for my service in the kingdom, is full of a richness that we can't begin to take advantage of or take for granted. That regardless of the amount that we have been given, that we serve Him faithfully and understand that it is from our Master. It is important, I believe, that as we look at the parable of the talents, that we understand this parable in terms of that we are the servants of God, that we are God's slaves. If you would, open your Bibles with me and let's take a look at two or three passages of Scripture here, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and then 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And here the Apostle Paul is talking about glorifying God in the body and in the spirit and how it is that you live your life. And he comes to verse 19 and he says, "For do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Friends, we belong to God. "For you were bought with a price." You were bought at a price. "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's," and they belong to God. In your bulletin this morning, I put a little small article that's probably full of spelling errors, I don't know, but on the pearl of great price. When you think about the pearl that is of great price, you think of the gift that comes from God for you and I, you think about how we have been bought for a price. The price is that it cost God His Son, it cost the Son His life, and it cost you and I a life that is involved in living for Christ. The outside things are gone and done away with. But we are the servants of God, and we have been bought with a price, and He has, and He shows the ownership that is of you and I. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Here the Apostle Peter, once again, talking about living before God. Living for God, unto God. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." That is how we were purchased. That is the cost that has come, the gift that has been given to you and I. And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, here Luke had these words to say, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." Now for you and I, as we live life, we can see the ownership that God has of us. Consider these slaves as they have a master, these servants as they have a master, and what this master has come and has given to them. It was giving according to their ability. And giving all the same would be wrong. But we find out the importance of what we have been given with our ability, how we work together. Because all of us are the body of Christ. All of us. All of us. are in the body where Christ is the head. And yes, as the body has different parts, you and I fulfill different roles that are within the body where none is any less or any more important. That for us to function well, we all work together. These servants. There were some that recognized what their master had wanted and went out and began to work. It's interesting, some of the research that I've done this week talk about the risk. The risk that is involved in the answers that will have to be given. You know, sometimes it's difficult to have a talent, and go out and put that talent to work. One of the men that I loved so dearly growing up was a man by the name of John Potts. And I look at Brother John and I think, what talent did God give John? John led singing. John preached. John led prayer. John visited the sick. John was a friend to all that he was around. John also taught himself to read. When he would stand in the pulpit many times, his ideas, his thoughts would get jumbled. His words were mispronounced, and sometimes they just didn't make sense. In some ways, for me, it became more challenging as a listener because I had to pay closer attention. And there would be John as he would lead singing, much like I do, starting the song in the key of off. And missing words. And yet John never hesitated to get up and serve. He never hesitated to get up and try to do things to the best of his ability. Because he was a servant of God. I've heard better preachers and I've heard better singers. I'm going to tell you. I don't know that I've ever heard someone do that with a heart that was more humble and full of love than anybody else I've ever listened to. And I think sometimes it's easy to fall into the category of, well, I can't, or it's just not me. And yet, I often wonder, where is that line on what is talent and what is not talent? And where is that line on what is my ability to say yes and my refusal to say no? If that makes sense. How can I be a servant in the kingdom of God? And I pray that as we study these parable of the talents, that for all of us in here, we think about what is it that God has given me? What is it that God has given me that I do well? And for every single one of us in here, God has given us something that we do well. But what is it maybe that we don't do so well? And is there still an expectation to use that? See, I've often wondered about that. I've often been scared. I've often thought about, you know, well, what about the things that God gives? The things that I really like, the things that I want to do, the things that I'm capable of doing. And I go out and I do those wholeheartedly. But then there's that one thing that, you know what, I just don't care about. I mean, is it possible to have talents that we flourish with and then, like the one talent man, we have talents that we bury? And that's something to think about, I think, for all of us, including myself. You know, I've often said, I do not want to do mission work overseas. That's what I've said. I got a call the other day about going to Costa Rica in January. I've got to be honest with you, for as much as I don't want to go overseas, Costa Rica in January does sound a little crazy. You know, I'm so thankful for these people that have that great desire, that have that opportunity to go all over the world and present the gospel of Christ. And yet I sit back and think, well, I know I don't want to. I know I don't want to. And I can, trust me, I can give you 101 excuses as to why I can't. But also think about those that have the opportunity to do good. And they don't do it. Then it's sin. It's a message for all of us. A message for all of us. Sometimes I think when it comes to talent, it's hard to get out of our comfort zone, isn't it? It's hard to get out of our comfort zone. I've got a comfort zone I like being in. I truly do. And there's things that make me uncomfortable. And what do we do when something is uncomfortable? We avoid it, don't we? We avoid it. And we can come up with every reason we justify in our minds why we can't do that. And yet the question is, can we? Can we do that? Is there capabilities? Is there ability? Is that something that God would expect or something that God would want out of you? I've often wondered about the talent that I've been given and the talent that I think I don't have. So we find that these servants, they went out, the five-talent man, he traded, and he got another five talents. And the two-talent man went out, and he did likewise and got two more. But then there was that one that said, you know, I know that the master, he reaps where he has not sown. Think about that for just a second. You ever plant something and go, oh, remember planting seed over there? You know, you ever spread grass seed with your hand? Well, you never know where that's going to end up, do you? And so it is when you seed something. You know, we look at our fields that are just right out here. You know, there's some corn popped up in them. They're soybean fields. Now, I know those are left over from probably last year, but didn't plant those there this year, did we? You know, talk about a master who goes out and he scatters seed and not knowing exactly where the seed's going to go, he goes and he takes from where he didn't intentionally try to go and to plant. And when a master comes back and says, well, you know I did this. You knew that to be the truth. Why did you go and you hired your talent? And it's interesting as we consider the one talent man that he didn't squander his talent. He didn't waste his talent as the prodigal son did. He didn't go into debt with his talent, like we read over in Matthew 18 and 24. But the one talent man simply failed to use what he had. He failed to use what he had. Are we using what we have? God has blessed all of us. I don't know how God has blessed everyone in here. I truly don't. And sometimes as I grow older, as I mature, I find that maybe there's some other things that I've never thought about that God has blessed me with. Things that I need to do for righteousness' sake in the kingdom of God. But I know this, I cannot fail to use what God has so freely given to me. We will discuss more this evening of the great reward that comes to those that use their talents. But of the great sadness there is for those that don't. But I want us to remember that every single one of us in here, we have the ability to work. We have ability and we have opportunities to vary with members. Some are born with sound bodies, others not so much. Some have great mental abilities and others not so much. Some are born simply into an atmosphere of culture and education, while others can be born into an atmosphere of poverty. Some are born into families that are simply full of love and kindness, while there are others that are born into families that sometimes there can be a lot of hatred and anger. As we grow here at Elm Grove, I pray that we think about what our talents are and how I can use those talents. Number one, to be a servant in the kingdom of God. But number two, to bless each other. And number three, to bring the gospel to those that are without as we go into everyday life. I know one talent that all of us have. It's a talent of being an example. Be an example of Christ. Use those things that He has so richly blessed all of us with. Let's have a word of prayer before we close. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come unto Thee once again so thankful for the time that we've had to spend in worship here this morning to study more of Your Word. Father, as we consider this parable of the talents here this morning, we pray that You help all of us to focus on what it is that we can do in the kingdom and how we can be good stewards of what it is that You've given to us. That, Father, we may not have a soul that shrinks back. That, Father, for those talents that we may not seem to be as strong in, that we work diligently to improve. But, Father, we just pray that we don't hide, that we don't shirk back from anything that You've given us. That being full of love and being full of a Christ-like attitude, that we can serve You. With the talents that You've given to all of us, we pray that we work within the kingdom, that others can come to know You, and that, Father, You can be glorified in all things that we do. Father, we're going to depart from here in just a few moments. We pray that You continue to look over us, to bless us, to encourage us, and Father, help us to study and always focus on Your Word. Forgive us of our sins and would stop this life. It is in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We're going to sing that song that Brother here has selected. If you're here this morning and you're not